It's good to see you as always every Sunday. And to our guests, we are so delighted to have you here in our service this morning. We count it a joy and a pleasure that you're investing this time with us this morning, and we never take that for granted. So our prayer for you this morning is that God will meet you right where you are in this life. You know, most great heroes, okay, in the comic strips, are mostly defined by their enemies. So if I can name a character, you could almost immediately tell me who their enemy is in the comic strip. So if I were to say Batman, Robin? Oh, if he didn't listen to Batman, he certainly would be his enemy. The Joker, the Penguin, the Riddler, on and on it goes. How about Superman? There you go. Flash Gordon, a little tougher here. Merciless. And then it goes on to the literature, and you can read books on that. If we were to say King Arthur, it's a tough one, huh? I'll let you look that one up on the way home. Google that one. So it goes on and on. And all the heroic battles, it seems to be through life, always can go back to the great battle between David and
Goliath.
See, you knew that one. David and Goliath. I like the story of David and Goliath because what it does, it illustrates for us how you and how I can overcome Goliaths in our lives.
Amen.
It is so true. David is not the only person that has Goliaths.
No.
Pastor Drew does. You do too as well. We all have Goliaths that we face each and every day in our lives. So what I like about our story is God does not leave us clueless how to face them. So before we face a Goliath, we have to understand what a Goliath is and who he is in our lives. So two just quick definitions as we're going to go to the story in 1 Samuel just a second. But God defines our enemy for us. He says a Goliath is anybody in our life that defies God. Anything in your life, in other words, that just stiff arms God. I don't need you. Defies our living God. The other definition of Goliath is the one that always takes our focus away from God. So not only does he defy God, he keeps our focus away from God. And that's why I read the scripture this morning. Where does your help come from? It's fixed on God, fixed on Jesus Christ. May I say this, that anything in your life that defies God is a Goliath. Anything in your life, in my life, that keeps our focus away from the living God becomes a Goliath in our life, becomes the enemy to us as we try to live this Christian life. The Philistines has caused Israel so much trouble. You go back to the early books of the Bible and you will find out that God promised them the land. Over and over again, the Philistines kept on coming in to impede their progress of getting the land and causing trouble to Israelites. So this is where we are today in our scriptures, is the Philistines once again are impeding the progress of God's people. And then also Goliath comes into the picture, and he's the bigger enemy that's the real focus of our challenge this morning. So on occasions, you're going to find yourself in this life staring in a Goliath. You're going to just come face to face with that Goliath. So either fear or faith is going to win out in that moment. Most often, I hate to say this, that fear gets into the lives of Christians and an expectation that you and I are just going to get squished by that Goliath. And so the fear invades your life. So as Christians, we have to decide each and every day, how are we going to handle those Goliaths in our lives? I don't know this morning what your Goliath is, but I certainly know what mine are. Have you stopped and considered what keeps invading and impeding your progress in your walk with God? What always is putting that stiff arm out? What's always causing you to lose focus on God? Two truths I know this about Goliath. And I'm going to preface this around this verse, and you know this in Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the first thing I know about Goliath is he wants to ruin your life. He wants to kill you spiritually, or he's going to come after you physically and harm you as well. How do I know that? In our story in 1 Samuel, did you hear the words, what I'm going to repeat later on, what Goliath had said to the children of Israel? He said, "I will give your flesh to the birds." That's what Goliath wants to do in your lives. And the second thing I know, the truth about Goliath, if we don't destroy them, they will destroy your life. So it's interesting about Goliath. When we face them with either fear or faith, they will never leave you the same when you're done. So how are you going to interact with them? We either become intimidated, and when we become intimidated by these Goliaths, we're going to see in our story what Israel did. Over and over again for 40 days, Israel hid in their tent. They came out, they took a look, and went back in their tent. They were intimidated by Goliath. Or you're going to face your Goliath and see what God can do with that Goliath. So the purpose of our sermon this morning, and I want us to help us see as we look at this, that why the Goliaths in your life and in my life try to dominate you and take over and try to squish your life, we have the power of God through Jesus Christ to defeat every Goliath that you'll ever face in this life. You have to be sure of that. The setting, if you want to turn with me, I'm going to read the Bibles. They will not be on the screen this morning because there's so many verses. So hang out with me this morning, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And 1 Samuel 17 unfolds the story where we are in our story about David and Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, it sets the setting of this battle. You see, Saul and Jonathan had earlier times, they've been defeating the Philistines off and on. They've been battling with it, so this is nothing new for them. The Philistines were now coming back again in our story to try to take over their territory here where they are encamped. And so, as we're looking at this, if you want to go with me down to verse chapter 17, verse number 3. Verse number 3 says this: "Then the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley in between them." So here you are, on one side of this valley are all the Israelites, then there's a valley, and on this side are all the Philistines. And so the battle's being set up down into this valley here that the Bible calls. So go down to verse 4 through 7 with me, and we're going to see the structure and the stature of Goliath as we read this. It says this in verse 4, "And the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was about 6 cubits as span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron shepherd head weighed about 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him." And you're thinking, what does all that mean in English? What that means is that we see Goliath, he was about 9 feet, 9 inches tall. That put Shaquille O'Neal too small. That would put LeBron James for the Lakers too small. Any NBA team would want a Goliath on their team for his stature and his size. The armor, I'm going to read it here, was about 200 pounds just for the armor. So you know how big he was if he had armor that weighed 200 pounds. And then it says that the head of the spear was 22 pounds, just the head of the spear alone, not the shaft of the whole spear. And we see the size of a Goliath compared to David, and you have to understand quickly from a human standpoint, David doesn't have a chance here. When you look at that Goliath standing on that hill looking over at the Philistines and mocking the Israelites every day. So Goliath, to me, as I kind of look at this, is like sin. It's no match for me and you. You can't do it. You can't compare yourself to it. You can't compete with it. See, it says, if you go back to verse 4, it says Goliath was a champion. I know this. Each and every day you wake up, this world and Satan is going to throw the best champion at you. And that's what was happening here. They got Goliath. The scripture said he was a champion at what he did. And he came after Israelites. He was going to try to come after David as well. So we look at this. There's no such thing as being even with sin. But we do have, once again, the power of God that can help us navigate our lives through our Goliaths. So verse 8 and 9, it says, then, this is just a typical day for them. Goliath was suggesting just a representative battle. He said, okay, I'm going to make it easy for you guys. Whoever wins, we're not going to kill everybody. We're just going to let that army serve this army. So there's not a lot of bloodbath going on here. So if you go down to verse 8 and 9, it says this. Then he stood and he cried out with the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? So he's asking him a question. So Goliath comes to your life Monday morning and says, why are you coming out and fighting me? What would your answer be? So he says, I'm not a Philistine, and you are the servants of Saul. Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. So in other words, I'm Goliath, I'm going to come to you. You pick somebody and come to me and we'll do a one-on-one. Verse 9, and if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and I kill him, then you shall be our servants and you shall serve us. So that's what they set up. They set up a representative battle here. And I think this at Goliath in our lives is like sin in another way. It's not content until it's your master. It will keep coming after you until it controls you. So the question is, what Goliath asks is, so what are you going to do if I come after you? So Goliath, for 40 days, kept up this. 40 days, kept coming after the nation of Israel and saying constantly, will you challenge me? Go down to verse 10 and 11. Sin, I think, is like Goliath in another way. It's not content until it demoralizes you. Going to try to defeat you in some way. Go down, verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. He's coming stronger after them. Verse 11 says this, when Saul and Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed, greatly afraid. I know this about fear in your life and about Goliaths in our lives. It promises much, but it proves to be so disappointing every single time in our lives. How does Satan use Goliaths? He uses them to create fear in your life. And Israel said in verse 11, the Israelites heard this and they were terrified. They heard Goliath speak and they were terrified. See, fear or faith, they chose fear in their lives. So David, here's a young man doing about his business. He's at home by now. Hasn't gone to the battle scene yet. So he's at home and his father said, hey, can you go down and see how the brothers are doing? Hey, while you're at it, take them some lunch. They had no idea. They're battled. They're hungry. So let's get them some lunch. So David goes down there. David was unaware. Now watch this. He was unaware what was going on because he hasn't been there yet. Packing his lunch, doing what his father asked of him. He doesn't have a clue what's going to about take place and that he's going to end up facing the biggest giant of his life. He is unaware. Isn't it true that with your life and my life, sometimes that the Goliaths, they come to us by surprise? Every single time we wake up tomorrow morning, had our devotions, had our cup of coffee, we prayed, we did our time with God, and then all of a sudden, where in the world did this temptation come from? Where did this Goliath come from? He doesn't care. He will come after you. And so that's where David was. He was unaware until he got there to the battle scene. And when he got there, the key is this in David's life. So if you remember anything this morning, lay hold of this. Although David had no idea, he was unaware what he was about to see in his life and what he was going to face, because he had faced other difficulties and challenges in his life, and he had seen the faithfulness of God. He did not face Goliath this day unprepared. He was unaware, but he was never unprepared. There's a big difference in how you face your Goliath. Amen. Go down to verse 20 and 21 with me. The army of Israel, man, they're making a war cry. This is crazy. Go down to verse 20. It says, so David rose up early in the morning. He left his father's sheep with the keeper, and he took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army, watch this, as the army, remember they're on the hillside, they were going out to fight. And what were they doing? Shouting. You know what this reminds me of? You ever watch It's been a while for me, but an NFL game, before you get the pregame all stuff, both teams come out and they do their like the pregame stuff on the field. And they come out and they do their exercises and they do running plays and trying to get warmed up. And then they go and they huddle up on the sidelines and they get together and they jump up and down. We can do it. Let's win this. Let's win this. And then they take off and they go back in the locker room. This is what's going on here. Israel would come out from their tents. Yay, we're going to get you. And then they would run back in their tent and hide. They did this for 40 days. Why? Because we know 40 days, Goliath kept on putting up the challenge. So every day they would come out and just shout. And I'm looking at this. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. What is happening? You remember the story of the Mouse Clan who was afraid of that big cat? Because it would sneak up without warning and it just catch all these, catch the mouse off guard. And so one day a creative mouse suggests, I got an idea. Why don't we try to do in this? And he said, let's get a bell and let's tie the bell around the cat's neck. And then every mouse will hear the bell. They would know that a cat was coming and they could do something about it. Well, that was a great suggestion, but guess what the problem was? There was no mouse that wanted to go and put that bell around the cat's neck. This is Israel. Yeah, they came out and shout a big scene. Nobody was willing to face Goliath. You cannot intimidate sin. You cannot shout out sin. It's going to laugh back at you. You cannot intimidate it and say, oh, bless God. Bless God, we're going to fight and defeat this devil and we're going to overcome temptation. That's a great resolve. That's not enough. So what happens here? Go down to verse 23. Goliath repeats his challenge. Verse 23 says this. Then as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. Who heard them? Did all those Israelites hear them? No, David did. David was paying attention to what was going on. Verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, what did they do? They fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. He spoke the same words, but only David heard. He spoke the same words for 40 days without stop. He comes on this day and says the same thing. Goliath is defying the armies of God. So what is the point here? The sense is not that not only is he defying God, is that Israelites dishonored God by not accepting the challenge. They went back into their tents and hid. They were afraid to face him. So, but this day's different. This day, David comes on the scene. He gets out there, and that David heard the threats of him, and they heard the evil one, heard Goliath, and he's not about to run in the tent like everybody else did. So the question for you and me this morning, how can you and I not only be unaware, but how can we be prepared to face our Goliath this morning? See, it's fall. I guess fall 22 started a new season in our lives here. And so for the next 3 months, we're going to call this the season of hope. The season of hope in your life, in my life. Yes, you and I can have hope as you face the Goliath in your lives. So I want us to look this morning at three principles. Three principles I'm going to give you this morning how you can learn from David to face the Goliaths in your life. The first one is this. You must become convinced of the reality and the reliability of God. Convinced of the reality and the reliability of God. Now, what do I mean by that? David was totally aware of who God was in his life. David said, what business? What? Listen to his words. What business does Goliath have making fools of the children of Israel? Should not that be our same model? What business does this Goliath have to do in my life to make fools of my God? Why do I allow this to happen and continue? The reality of God is this in verse 28 to 32. If you'd go down there with me, it says this in verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. Really? And he said this, why do you come up here? And whom do you have left? For though he's more worried about the sheep than he is Goliath. Well, who's taking care of the sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. That's all you want to do. You're just a young boy. So David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Wow. Verse 29. And David said, what have I done? Now is there not a cause? And he returned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first one did. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul. Man, gossip went around so fast. And where he sent to him in verse 32 says, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistines. I will do that. I will be the man. So the reality here in David's life is this. David knew the truth about God. When you're up against your Goliath, do you know the truth about your God? Amen. That's the question that David said. I know the truth about my God and what my God can do, a God who is bigger than my Goliath. And how do I know that? Well, if you go back to what Eliab said, he said to David, you're out of place. Go back to your sheep. Get out of here. No wonder God looked at Eliab, and God looked at Eliab, because remember, Saul was going to anoint Eliab as the next king. And God came into the picture, and God looked at Eliab and said, no, you won't. You will not be the next king, Eliab. Samuel nearly anointed him. He was within days of anointing him. His presence, his athletic ability, his stature, his looks, everything, his frame was about to be the next king. Now, Eliab had a chance in his life to prove that he had a God that could win battles against Goliath. He had it, and he missed it. You know why? Eliab saw things as they are, and he shook. He was shaken. He had fear. God cannot use a man or woman in that position. David saw God and saw the things as they could be, and he had faith. Faith over fear. The army saw Goliath. David saw God. The army saw the problem. David saw potential, how we can overcome. So behind it, we see an all-powerful God, and we must remind ourselves of that when we face our Goliaths. I like what J. Oswald Sanders says. Now listen to this. Eyes that look are common. Eyes that see are rare. Do you look or do you see a God that can handle your Goliaths? The next thought was the reliability of God. The reliability of God, that just simply means God's faithfulness. Can I help you with this? Go down to verse 33. This is so good. Read 33 to 37 with me. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're just a youth, and you're not a man of war from your youth. But David said to him, listen to what he said to Saul. He said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion and a bear came and took out a lamb in the flock, look what David said, I went after it. I struck it, and I delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, and I struck it, and I what? I killed it. Verse 36, your servant has killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Wow. Seeing that he has what? Once again, defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said in verse 37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. You know the reason why David was so secure in what he said? Because he had seen secure victories in the past. He had a track record. So I asked myself as I was studying this week, what is my track record? What is your track record? David said, I'm going to tell Saul what my track record is, and that is because I killed a lion and a bear. I know what my God can do, and if I can handle that, I can surely handle this Goliath with God's power, the same thing. So he saw his track record, and he let Saul know his track record. So his past victories gave him confidence of his present confrontation. How did David get confidence? How can you walk out of here this morning with hope and with confidence when you have that Goliath facing you tomorrow? Point number two helps you with this. It says, you must depend upon the resources of God. You have to depend upon the resources of God. Go down to verse 38 again and 39. It says, so Saul clothed David with the armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. Now, this is Saul's stuff. You got it? Saul's given David all of his stuff. So here's my helmet, here's for your head, here's the clothes, here's the armor, here's the coat of mail. And David fastened him, his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk. Can you picture this? Here's David with all stuff, and he just can't walk. He's so bound up with all this stuff, it doesn't fit. He says, Saul, it's not tested. You see that in your Bible? Circle that. He said to Saul, it's not tested. In other words, David's never put these on before. I don't know if this stuff will work. Maybe it worked for you. It's not going to work for me. So he said, this is not tested. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for he said it the second time. I have not tested them. So David took them off. You ever tried to do something that, oh, Pastor Rich did, or over here that you did, or you did, or you did, and say, why can't I do what they did? Because you never tested them. You got to do what God wants you to do with his power and his strength and test what God. You know what he did? So here's the idea. So it's like this. Saul had like a 48 long, and David is like a 42 short. So here's David trying to put Saul's stuff on. Oh, yeah. It fits. I'm going to go out looking like this. And David said, I can't walk. I can't go out this. I've never tested. This is not for me. This is your stuff. This is not my stuff. So he said, Saul, take it back. I don't want it. I'm going to go with my past victories. I'm going to go what I know has been tested. And you're thinking, well, Drew, what has been tested? Well, I can tell you this. Saul's armor's never been tested. Because he did not go out there and face Goliath. He ran back to his tents with everybody else. You know what has been tested in David's life? It might sound so simple, but it's so profound. It's this. It's the Word of God. This is what was tested in David's life. And this is what he was talking about. I have not tested that, but I have tested this. And I know this works. Amen. So what are you going to do? If you look at David back on the hillside as he's a young lad, he spent a lot of time with God at night, laying in the grass, looking over his sheep, staring up at the stars, and spending time with God alone. That's where David learned how to test and learn the test and learn the Word of God. It says this in Psalm chapter 119, 92. Unless the law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine afflictions. He goes on to say in Psalm 119, 97, oh, how I love thy law, thy words. It is my meditation all the day, not just the half hour in the morning when I spend time with God. It's all the day. And how do I know that this was tested? David said in Psalm 119, verse 98, though through thy commandments hast thou made it wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. The answer to your Goliath and my Goliath is found here in the true tested Word of God. Amen. Stay close to it. Amen. Hide it in your heart. Psalm 107, 17 says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried unto the Lord all their troubles, and he saved them out of their distress. And he sent his word to heal them. And he delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Goliaths do not come down easy. And I'm not saying that this morning, but I do know this. It's not by might nor by power, but by his Holy Spirit, Amen. The Word of God. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Everything depends on the fact that we have God's word. I go back to what I read this morning as we started the service in Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from God who made the heaven and the earth. He will not let your foot be shaken. Whose foot was shaken this day? Eliab's. Remember that? He saw Goliath and he was shaken. The scripture says, he will guard your foot so it will not be shaken. The last one is this, and I want to help you with this. The third thing is that you are and must be a representative of God. Amen. I read that in verse 48, if you go down there with me. And it was this, when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David. What did David do? He hurried. He could not wait to get his hands on Goliath. Because why? He knew his past victories. If God can do it then, he can do it again. He hurried towards and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put on his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank deep in his forehead. And he fell on his face towards the earth. Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Israel peeked out. They saw Goliath and said, he is too big. He's going to hurt me. He's going to squish me. David came out of his tent that afternoon, unaware, but he was totally prepared. He came out and he said, man, he's too big. I can't miss him. I'm coming for him. He's right there. We're going to get him, God. The title of my sermon now, I'm going to give it to you, is Do Not Stay in Your Tent. It's time to come out. It's time to face that Goliath that's just been hounding you for so long. Come out of your tent. Come out with the promises of God. See, you know, I do know this. Any slingshot will do when it's in God's hand. You can do it. You can have the confidence. Goliath runs in packs. That's why David took 5 stones, because Goliath had 4 brothers. David was prepared to face all of them if he needed to. So let me wrap it up with this. What's the results of all this? How can I tie it up and give you something here this morning? What is the results when David found out that he had the reality and the reliability of God, he had the resources of God, and he was God's representative? I'm going to give you 4 things as I close. Look in your scriptures because this is so important. If you're discouraged this morning, if you just need that hope, we're in a season of hope right now. If you just need that hope, I'm going to tell you what the answer can be if you trust God for this. Number 1 is this. He conquered the giant. Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine. The second thing is this. The enemy fled. The enemy fled. Verse 51, therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, what did they do? They ran. They fled. The third thing is the power was broken over Goliath that was trying to rule over the nation of Israel. Verse 52, now the men of Israel and Judah arose. They shouted, and what did they do? It says they pursued. They went after the Philistines. I like that. See, that's the same thing can happen in your life too, that you can conquer your Goliath. You can have the enemy flee in your life, and you can have the power to be broken of whatever is that has chained you down. And I saved the last result for this. And here's the 4th one. And I want you to walk away with this one. The spirit of others were lifted. Do you realize that when you face your Goliath in the power of God, those around you will be encouraged. Those around you will be lifted. People are watching you. People are praying for you. People are wanting you to trust the tested word of God. So, when you face your Goliath, you will lift other people up. How do I know that? Who were chasing the Philistines? The Israelites. Where had they been the last 40 days? In their tent. Until David. See, Goliath was not expecting David. David showed up. And what did he do? He gave confidence to all of Israel. And they took off up the hill chasing the Philistines. You too can encourage other people by the way that you live and the way that you trust God. Amen. You can be encouragement to hear at church. You could be an encouragement on your job. You can be an encouragement, listen, moms and dads, in your home. Your kids are watching you. They're looking how you're going to handle things. Grandparents, even if you're single, those around you, they're watching you. They're watching what next move are you going to make. You're seeing if you trust God to face that Goliath, because you have an opportunity to encourage other people in this world. Your Goliath has haunted you long enough. You need to come out of your tent this morning and give it to God. And let God face your Goliath with you. It's time for us. We have in our hands the weapon to face our Goliaths. We have hope to face our Goliaths. Why? Because we have Jesus Christ in our lives. It's time that you give your Goliath over to God and let God face your Goliath for you. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you that you allowed us to see this brief picture. It's only in one chapter about a young man that through his life, he tested your word, and your word always came back faithful. He had a great track record of facing his enemies. And God, I pray that starting today, that our track record would kind of clean up a little bit in our lives, that we would trust you to face those Goliaths in our lives. So I pray for those this morning, things that are just overwhelming, things that have just taken control. Fear has set in. Unanswers to prayer requests that we've been praying for are not answered yet. And Satan's trying to come in and throw these Goliath-sized issues at our life and to strangle us spiritually. And I pray this morning that you would release us of that, that we would come to those Goliaths in the name of the Lord and ask for your help to face these each and every day. We love you this morning. We thank you for meeting here with us today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.